Radio Prague News.
The removal of munitions from a depot at which explosions occurred could take place from mid-January, says the Interior Minister. The company that operates the munitions depot says that term is unrealistic. And many Czechs are preparing for an unusually long Christmas break from work. The removal of munitions from a depot in eastern Moravia, where explosions occurred over a two-month period, will take place in the middle of January at the earliest. The Minister of the Interior, Milan Chovanec, made the announcement after a meeting of the State Security Council, which he said had taken advice from the police. Some 2,800 tons of munitions will be transported around 200 kilometres from the village of Verbietice to a depot in Kvietna in eastern Bohemia, where the material will be stored temporarily. The rest will be sold. A lawyer for the company that operates the Verbietice depot says it won't be possible to prepare the munitions there for transfer by the suggested date of mid-January. Interior Minister Milan Chovanec announced the projected term on Monday night. Speaking for the IMEX group, lawyer Radek Ondruš said the company would be unable to acquire the necessary permits for the international transport of munitions by then. IMEX Group wants to sell some of the munitions to buyers outside the Czech Republic. Mr. Ondruš also said the state was refusing to communicate with the firm. The Czech government has approved a plan to establish a central bank account register. The database, which will be launched in January 2016, will include all private and corporate accounts run by Czech banks and credit unions. Finance Minister Andrej Babiš said the register should allow tax authorities to monitor the length of existence of accounts in order to curb tax evasion, according to the finance minister. He said that information on account balances would not be included in the register. The organs of 250 deceased donors have been used in the Czech Republic in 2014, which is a record for 1 year. The figure was released on Tuesday by the director of the Czech Transplanting Centre, Miloš Adamec. The country climbed one place to 14th in the world in terms of this form of organ donation. Mr. Adamec said the rise was partly down to a 2013 change in the law, under which patients who received organs can contribute to the funeral costs of donors. Many Czechs are preparing for an unusually long Christmas break from work. The combination of state holidays on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday and a regular weekend means a lot of people around the country will enjoy a five-day break, a situation that will not arise again until 2018. After that, it won't recur until 2025. Czechs celebrate Christmas on the evening of the 24th of December. Some parts of the Czech Republic are likely to see snow over the Christmas period. While it's expected to rain on Christmas Eve, when Czechs celebrate Christmas, temperatures are expected to fall for a two-day period, bringing small amounts of snow on St. Stephen's Day. Daytime temperatures should hover around 0 degrees Celsius in the latter part of the week. Tennis player Petra Kvitová has been voted the Czech Sportsperson of the Year. In a poll of Czech sports journalists, the Wimbledon winner finished first, ahead of the Olympic champion in snowboard cross Eva Samková and speed skating champion Martina Sablikova. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Danielle Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, Czech radio's regular interviews with President Zeman may be discontinued after he used vulgar language in a live broadcast. And we look at the story of a homeless man who is a millionaire in waiting. Later on in the show, in Focus, we look at the first book in Hebrew printed in Prague half a millennium ago. All that coming up, so do please stay with us. Regular Czech radio interviews with the Czech president will most likely be discontinued. The station is refusing to carry on with the present live format following a scandal surrounding foul language uttered by President Miloš Zeman in the program's most recent edition. The broadcaster says it will only pre-tape the show, an idea rejected by the president. Jan Richter has the story.
Víte, co je to pasy?
An edition of Hovory z Lán, or Talks from Lány, broadcast live from the president's retreat, made international headlines in November due to the very strong language used by Miloš Zeman. The president used a number of swear words on the program, broadcast at 5 p.m., including an earthy Czech translation of the name of the Russian group Pussy Riot. The president later said that almost all of the vulgar expressions were direct quotations, though questions remain as to why Mr. Zeman chose to use such foul language in the first place. The uproar caused by the interview has contributed to a sharp drop in public support for the president and now looks likely to bring about the end of the program itself. Czech Radio's supervisory board last month came to the conclusion that the broadcaster had breached the law, as well as its own statutes, by airing the expletive-dotted interview. The board also suggested the show be pre-recorded. Czech Radio's management initially said the station wanted to continue airing live interviews with the president. However, the broadcaster's director general, Peter Duhan, on Monday announced that only pre-taped interviews with the president would be aired in the future.
We should respect the conclusion of Czech Radio Supervisory Board. That's why my decision has been so unequivocal. And that's why I wrote to the president, saying we wanted to keep the program, but that we can only broadcast pre-recorded interviews.
The program's tradition goes back to the first president of Czechoslovakia, Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk. The show was revived after the fall of communism in 1990, with Václav Havel regularly addressing listeners over an eight-year period. The program was relaunched in June last year, several months after Mr. Zeman's election. Since then, it has been broadcast every 3 months or so. But Czech Radio's freshly announced decision not to broadcast live interviews with the president will most likely spell the end of Hovory z Lán in its current form. President Zeman had earlier refused the idea of pre-taping the show, a position reiterated by his spokesman on Monday. The show might move to a commercial broadcaster, although none of the big radio stations has to date confirmed interest in taking over the program.
Jan Richter with that report. Moving on now, František Václavek is a homeless man who will be spending this Christmas, as many before it, in a shelter. It needn't have been the case, though. 4 years ago, Václavek won 30 million crowns with a single lottery ticket. But he was wheedled out of it by a couple who used the winnings to buy a luxury home in Prague. A court later sent them to prison, but Václavek is still waiting for what is rightfully his. Jan Wellinger has the details.
František Václavek, in his 50s, liked buying lottery tickets and bet often, say friends, some telling Czech radio in the past that the lottery even came before food. 4 years ago, a random choice of numbers, he hit the jackpot. 30 million crowns. But the homeless man made a crucial mistake, trusting two people he worked for at a bakery, Miroslav Šoška and Jana Černa, with his ticket. A court later found Ms. Černa fraudulently claimed the earnings and together with Mr. Šoška bought a luxury home complete with a pool and other comforts in Klanovice. The ticket's owner remained penniless. As a result, he will spend this Christmas in a shelter. Czech Radio caught up with Mr. Václavek earlier. He told the broadcaster simply he hadn't got any of the money yet, and had no choice but to wait. An appeals court this August confirmed Václavek's right to the funds and increased the prison sentences for the fraudsters, 5 years to 6. The seizure and sale of property and other assets have since been ordered, but now depend on a 30-day appeals process. In short, the return of what the homeless man is owed will take some time yet. Petra Bačová is the spokeswoman for the Chamber of Distraint Officers.
tuto chvíli však vydané exekuční příkazy nelze realizovat, protože...
The order to seize property, which has been issued, has not yet come into effect. No steps can be taken at this point. Basically, the debtors have 30 days to pay off what they owe.
A teprve plyne 30-denní lhůta k dobrovolnému splnění dluhu dlužníkům.
In the past, Mr. Václavek expressed the desire to buy property of his own, to have his teeth fixed, go on vacation, and to start his own business. There, experts are wary. The lottery winner, once he receives his money, may again be in danger of losing his newfound wealth. During trial, a psychologist called in as an expert witness evaluated Mr. Václavek as suffering from a mild form of retardation. He warned that the homeless man could, under certain circumstances, react like a child, be submissive and overly trustworthy, unable to hold his own against dominant personality types. In other words, those who would manipulate him for their own benefit. In the expert's view, the lottery winner would be best served by a custodian to help oversee his funds. But given that Mr. Václavek is recognized as legally competent to administer his own affairs, such restrictions are not an option. Once the seizure and forced sale of property go ahead and proceeds go to a bank account, Mr. Václavek will by rights be free to use his money as he wants. There are outstanding previous debts, his legal team has said in the past, but even after those are paid, the homeless man, who has become something of a minor celebrity in some circles, should retain enough to be able to, with a little luck, turn his life around.
Jan Wellinger, and let's hope that story has a happy end. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature, In Focus, where Marsha Walensky looks at the first book in Hebrew to be printed in Prague.
Today in Prague's bookstores, one can find titles in a number of world languages, English, German, Russian, French, and of course Czech. It is much harder these days, although not impossible, to find books published in Hebrew. But 500 years ago, a little less than a century after the Gutenberg press was invented, the first Hebrew book in Central Europe, and possibly north of the Alps, was printed right here in Prague. The Jewish Museum of Prague opened an exhibit in December to commemorate the 500 years of Jewish and specifically Hebrew printing in this region. The exhibit entitled You Won't Need to See a Rabbi presents an impressive collection of some 50 earliest books to have been published in Hebrew in Bohemia and Moravia. Here's how the spokeswoman for the museum, Jana Havlíková, described the main part of the presentation.
The exhibit contains books from the 16th to the 18th centuries, and at most two editions of each book have survived. But the oldest one, whose anniversary the exhibit is marking, is a Siddur, or a book of prayers, which was published in Prague in 1512.
Která byla v Praze vydána v prosince 1512.
The printing of the first book, a sign of both technological and educational progress, is an irrefutable part of this period in history of Prague's Jews, which is often called the Jewish Renaissance. Only a decade before, the local nobility reaffirmed many of the privileges previously granted to the city's Jews, which helped the community to prosper economically and culturally. In the 500 years since then, the Jews of Prague have seen their fortunes ebb and flow, and many of the older publications ended up outside of their native land. I spoke to the exhibit's curator, Olga Sixtova, who told me that the museum had to ask the Bodleian Library in Oxford to loan them a number of the most precious items in the exhibit.
We are very lucky because we were able to borrow altogether 6 books from Oxford. And this first one I did not even hope that we would get it, but Oxford people are very generous, so we got this loan. So we have this 1512 book, then a Siddur printed in 1556 on parchment. This was kind of typical for early books. They were still considered to be luxurious items, not like our everyday book. And to make it even more durable and valuable. Sometimes they were printed on parchment, which is basically animal skin.
The first Jewish books in Bohemia were religious in nature, prayer books, explanations of the Torah, and others. But piety was not the only reason publishers chose this particular genre. It was also, in modern speak, a marketing technique. Since all Jews needed to have a prayer book in the house, the printers could be sure that they will sell their product, which was considerably cheaper than the books that were written out by hand. The somewhat peculiar title of the exhibit also comes from what we can call today an advertising slogan, from a glossary that provided explanations of Hebrew words in the Torah in Yiddish, the secular language that most Jews used at the time.
I found this quote in a book printed in 1604 by Moses Sertas. It's a glossary to the Bible. So you have the Hebrew word and then explanation in Yiddish. And as a heading, basically as a promotional motto for Shir HaShirim, which is the Song of Songs, he says, now you have this book and you won't need anymore to go to see a rabbi because everything is in this book. Mm-hmm. And also in the foreword to the book, he says, like, nowadays many people live in small communities in villages and they have no access to rabbis because the rabbi lives in some town, so there is no rabbi, there is nobody to ask. So now you have the book.
Although the first books in Hebrew were religious texts, the beginning of printing in the Jewish community, both in Hebrew and later in Yiddish, had an impact on the spread of secular knowledge as well.
There is a beautiful passage in David Gans's Chronicle. It was printed in 1592 in Prague. This book has two parts, Jewish Chronicle and General History. And in General History, you know, there are no illustrations, only names of important kings and emperors are marked by a crown. The only event that is marked with this crown is the invention of printing in 1444, which it tells a lot. In the book, he speaks about the invention of printing. This is like the biggest invention humankind got since the Torah was given to Israel. And he stresses, for example, this makes available all kinds of knowledge to people, especially what people invent in their professions.
But in these first few centuries of the printed word, putting a book together was a complicated and expensive affair. After the first Hebrew book was printed on the press in 1512, new books would come out only once in two or even more years. To maintain a printing press for this little number of books would have been too costly, so Jews interested in printing them cooperated very successfully for a number of decades with Christian printers, usually Lutherans. The first book was printed in the press of Jan Severin. Olga Sixtova pointed out that the Jewish editors and investors made use not only of the printing machinery, but also the expertise of the Christian craftsmen.
Also, there's the compositor and the painter himself were Christian, and I think with time they learned it from them, and then when they started printing more and more often, they definitely had the press of their own. The cooperation was also on another level, because especially in the first decades, the Hebrew books are really very nicely decorated with woodcuts. And during the research, I asked my colleague, Docent Peter Voigt from Strahov Library of Premonstratensians here in Prague, who is very knowledgeable in the 16th century Bohemian printing, to do this research together with me. And basically, he identified all the woodcutters in other Lutheran prints, Catholic. So what appeared that they were like, the Jews were able to hire professionals from among Christians with no hindrance here.
Although at the cozy exhibition space in the Robert Gutman Gallery, the original books can only be viewed through display cases, the authors decided to use today's modern technology to allow visitors to interact with the text and their creators in other ways. Jana Havlíková explains.
While the exhibit was in the works, we were able to gather lots of interesting information about the people involved in Hebrew book printing, so visitors to the exhibit can learn about the printers, illustrators, editors, and authors of individual texts. Visitors can also view selected titles in digital form. And most importantly, we were able to put together the first ever comprehensive bibliography of Hebrew printing.
In addition to the older artifacts, the exhibit also engaged young visual artists. Olga Sixtová went to speak to a class of young animators at Prague School of Applied Arts, attracting their interest with the aesthetic value of the old prints and asking them for help.
I was thinking like, yeah, these books are printed here in Prague 500 years ago. Now we have Prague people, young people. Nobody knows about it. It's nowhere apparent that Hebrew printing existed here. So let's make like this contact just to see like how they react to it. So basically six of them got interested, and in the end like two of them did some short video. One of them is presented in the exhibition, and it's basically an abstract play with the letters. And the other one, just actually the animation of the Haggadah, is used in the Prague Metro as part of advertisement for the exhibition.
This combination of modern technological advances and those from half a millennium ago provides fascinating food for thought. You can view the exhibit You Won't Need to See a Rabbi at the Robert Gutman Gallery in Prague until the end of February. The museum has also put out a book in Czech and English that chronicles Hebrew printing in Bohemia and Moravia.
That edition of In Focus with Marcia Wolinski was first aired in January of last year, and I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you as always. And before we go, I'd also like to invite you to join us for some of our Christmas specials in the coming days. This is Danielle Lazareva saying thanks for joining us and take care.